begin reading with verse 3. It's good to see my buddy Tommy back here. Good to see you, Tommy. I want to continue to talk to you about seeds today, and on this thought that words are seeds. Words are seeds. When we say something, we plant something. Or as we would say, we start something. You know, you've heard the expression, if you don't want there to be something, don't start something. Right? Words are seeds. Mark chapter 4 and verse 3, Jesus said, listen, a farmer went out to plant some seed. The farmer plants seeds by taking God's word to others. The seed that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have Satan come at once and take it, the seed, away. I've said some words that I wish somebody would have stolen before they found the ground that they landed on. The seed on the rocky soil represents those who hear the message and immediately receive it with joy. But since they don't have deep roots, they don't last long. They fall away as soon as they have problems or are persecuted for believing God's word. The seed that fell among thorns represents others who hear God's word, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the worries of life, the lure of wealth, and the desire for other things, so no fruit is produced. And the seed that fell on good soil represents those who hear and accept God's word and produce a harvest. So what we're getting at here is that God considers words to be seeds. Because he talked about the sower sows the seed, and then he talks about God's word and the message. God's word is the seed, God's message is the seed. So words are seeds. Words contain the ability to reproduce themselves. For instance, if you speak words of hate and anger and bitterness, well, guess what? That's what's going to be created. That's the kind of atmosphere it's going to create, the kind of feelings, the kind of vibe it's going to create, and the kind of response it's going to create for you to get back from someone. Because very rarely do you speak hatefully to somebody and get loving words in return. Now, if someone speaks hateful to us, as Christians, we should, quote, speak lovingly in return, but I haven't learned to do that consistently. Have you? I mean, if somebody blesses me out, I don't bless anybody out. And see, you know, as Christians, we say bless them out instead of cuss them out. Because we don't cuss. We're not supposed to, are we? But we tend to retaliate, and we're not necessarily supposed to do that, but words are seeds. I want to start talking, first of all, about seeds of the heart. Because seeds don't begin with words. Really, seeds begin in the heart. That's where they're created. That's where they're stored up. And that's where they come from. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33, Jesus said, a tree is identified by its fruit. If a tree is good, its fruit will be good. If a tree is bad, its fruit will be bad. You rarely get good fruit from a bad tree, or bad fruit from a good tree. I mean, not consistently anyway. It's kind of like when Jesus said, sweet water and bitter water don't come out of the same source. But then, have you ever wondered, now Jesus, I'm not so sure about that. I mean, I know he's telling the truth. I mean, I'm not disputing the fact that he's telling the truth, but I've seen at times in my life anyway where that looked like a contradiction. And I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself, but I'm going to go ahead and share this. And I hope I don't embarrass her and get in trouble for it later. But I used to have, and I still have it somewhere, I used to have a list of scriptures that I looked up regarding speaking softly, lovingly, and kindly to people in general. But I had the scriptures because I wanted to learn from God's word how to speak softly, kindly, and lovingly on a consistent basis to my wife. Because I got in the bad habit, and maybe none of you have ever done this, but I got in the bad habit of holding my tongue for the most part when it would come to retaliating against people, other people. In other words, because I'm the pastor and I don't want to make anybody mad and I don't want to stir up any trouble and blah, 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 blah. So I'd hold in all that pressure and all that stress, but then I'd take it out on her when I got home. Now, I'm not talking about calling names or anything like that, but just being sharp, being blunt, being quick, being aggravated in my tone, more my tone than the words. You understand? Now, I mean, don't think any less of me for that, but I'm just being honest with you. And I began to notice it was a problem. I didn't like the harvest I was reaping. I didn't like the harvest I was reaping because, you know, believe it or not, I'm a peace lover. And I don't like tension around the house, but I was creating it, literally creating it by the words I was using and the tone of my words. So I began to read over these scriptures and I'd pray them out loud and I'd read them out loud because I wanted to retrain my heart to speak lovingly and kindly and softly to my wife because, you know, she's my wife. She's my companion. She's bone of my bone. She's flesh of my flesh. And I wanted to, but I had to train myself. How do I train? I didn't, you know, not that I may not need to, but I've never been to counseling. Well, not for my marriage. I have been to counseling for other things, you know, depression and anxiety. But that's another story. I'll tell you all about that later. But at any rate, I noticed I had a problem. I noticed I did not like the harvest I was reaping. So if I wanted to change the harvest I was reaping, I needed to change the seeds I was planting. Amen. So I had to change that. And I did it by doing it with God's word. So seeds of the heart. He said in verse 34, this is Jesus, the loving Savior, talking here. He said, you brood of snakes, how could evil men like you speak what is good and right? For whatever is in your heart determines what you say. And I might add, whatever is in your heart in abundance determines what you say. Okay? Or the seed you will plant. You know, so he goes on to say this. He said, a good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on judgment day for every idle or unproductive word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. The words you speak out of the abundance of what's in your heart will either set you free or put you in bondage. Amen. It can do it emotionally. It can do it spiritually. It can do it in a number of different ways. When it comes to like relationships, like between a husband and a wife, it can literally put you in bondage, put you in bondage and cause you to feel tight around your spouse because of the words you've been speaking. In other words, guys, you can't be a jerk to your wife and talk to her in an unloving and unkind way and then, you know, lighting a candle and playing, you know, some Barry White ain't going to cut it. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? I mean, you can't talk to her like she's a dog and then play Barry White and expect, you know, hey, it's going to be on. You can't do that. You can't do that. Why? Because you've been sowing bad seeds. It's going to take you some time. Y'all think I'm silly, don't you? I mean, y'all live in a real world. I mean, you know what? I mean, we don't live in a monastery, do we? Okay. Now, he said you'll give every judgment for you'll be judged for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. Proverbs 4, verse 20. God said, my child, pay attention to what I say. Listen carefully to my words. Don't lose sight of them. Let them, my words, penetrate deep into your heart. Why? Because whatever penetrates deep into your heart will eventually come out of your mouth. And when it's His words that penetrate deep into your heart and come out of your mouth, you'll get a good harvest. Amen. You'll get a good harvest. He said, for they bring life to those who find them and healing to their whole body. Look at verse 23. Guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Why? Because in your heart are the seeds or the word or the words that you will speak, and whatever comes out of your heart in abundance, that's the kind of harvest you're going to get. Have you ever... You ever been around somebody? I mean, you were having a good day. You felt good. You were upbeat, everything. And then you got around somebody that just the sky was falling. Everything was horrible. Everything was negative. Everything was pessimistic. Everything was poor old me and everything else. And before long, you felt like crud. Can I say that word? I did. Crud. You just feel bad. Huh? Why? Because it does something. It literally puts a vibe. It puts out a vibe in the atmosphere, and it affects your spirit. It affects your attitude. You know, you'll get a kick out of this, I think. One time, the first church I pastored, I mean, I was under so much stress. This is no joke. I was under so much stress. On Sunday mornings, I'd be just like, I'd rather somebody tie me to a tree and beat me than me have to go out there. I was just so down and everything. This is no lie. I turn on TV and I watch Bugs Bunny. I watch Bugs Bunny, not Roadrunner. I've never liked Roadrunner and a coyote, but I'd watch Bugs Bunny, Porky Pig, and Daffy Duck, people like that. And I just get a kick out of watching Bugs Bunny blow Daffy Duck's head off. You know, they don't show that anymore. You know, they don't show that anymore on cartoons. You know, Daffy Duck getting his face blown off and his bill spinning around his head. Oh, children might reenact that. We didn't. I mean, we had BB gun fights, but we didn't shoot people with a shotgun in the face. You know, we just threw rocks at one another and shot each other with BB guns, slingshots and stuff. You know, we knew our limits, right? But I'd watch Daffy Duck and Bugs Bunny and all, and Porky Pig and Elmer Fudd just to get a laugh. And I'd go out there and preach. Man, the pastor's out there praying, getting ready for the service. I was out there watching Bugs Bunny. Getting ready for the service because my spirit was so down, I needed something to laugh about. All right? So words create an environment. Words are seeds, and they produce things. So he said, guard your heart. The King James Version says, for out of it, your heart, come the issues of life. Another translation says, whatever comes out of your heart sets the boundaries for your life. You know, I found this, and God's helped me, you know, personally through His Spirit and through His Word and other people. But, you know, there was a time when there was like a glass ceiling I kept bumping my head up against. And a lot of that glass ceiling was created because I was so down on myself. I felt so bad about myself. I didn't like myself. I'll tell you something, if you have a low self-esteem, it's going to be hard for you to rise above that and help other people. So eventually I had to start doing kind of like the song we sang earlier. I had to start saying about myself what God, I am all that He says I am. I don't feel like it, may not look like it, but He says I am that, so I'm going to start saying I am that. And it looked like I was a hypocrite. It looked like I was lying. Well, I'm healed when I wasn't healed. I was happy when I wasn't happy. I had joy when I didn't have joy. I had hope when I didn't have any hope. But I kept saying it. I kept planting that seed. I kept planting that seed. I kept planting that seed. And eventually it produced a harvest. And guess what? You have to plant them all the time. A one-time harvest will not do. It's not like it'll come up and then start producing its own seeds automatically and reseeding itself. You've got to keep planting those seeds. Because the devil's certainly out there planting them. He don't ever give up. Amen. Okay, so there's seeds from or of the heart. Now let's talk about seeds from the mouth. Proverbs 18, verses 20 and 21 says, wise words satisfy like a good meal. How many of you like a good meal? Man, I do. I'm hungry right now. I can't wait to get home and eat. Wise words satisfy like a good meal. But if you ever sat down to a good meal on the table, and somebody's words would ruin your appetite. I had that happen to me recently. Sitting down, I was eating. I was enjoying my food. And all of a sudden, words started coming out of that other person's mouth. I set my fork down, never picked it up again. I felt sick to my stomach, the stuff I started hearing out of their mouth. You see, it just ruined it. They said, well, I see you're not eating. I said, I don't have an appetite anymore. See, the words just killed it. All right? Words satisfied like a good meal. Like a good meal. The right words bring satisfaction. The tongue can bring death or life. Those who love to talk will reap the consequences. Now, if you love to talk the word, if you love to talk faith, if you love to talk grace, if you love to talk love, then, hey, you'll reap the consequences, which are good. But if you're always running down yourself, running down other people, talking negative, expecting the worst, preparing for the worst, guess what? That's what you're going to get. Now, life is not perfect. It doesn't matter. I mean, I'm telling you, you could watch every word you say. You could just do nothing all day but quote Scripture, quote Scripture, quote Scripture. And you're still going to have challenges. The devil's still going to knock the props out from under you every now and then. But I want to tell you, you know this for a fact. If you don't guard your heart and guard what you say, it'll be worse. It'll just make matters worse. So we have to guard what we say. Ephesians 4 and verse 29 says, don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. This is a commandment from God. He's telling us. Now look, there are times when we may have to take our children, for instance. Thankfully, I've not had to do it. I haven't reaped a harvest of the seeds I sowed when I was a child, because I very rarely have to paddle my children. Oh, Pastor, you paddle your children? Yes. Because I love them. All right? So occasionally, but not very often. I can't remember the last time. I very rarely have to scold them. I love to build them up. Now, we do correct them when they're wrong. We do correct them and give them guidance and direction and so forth. And I don't build them up like they're, you know, something that they're not, but I love to encourage my children. Now, the other day, Kim said, Herman, Jadwin is going to get something done today. I'm like, okay, like what? I said, she's getting her ears pierced. It's not like I think it's a sin to get her ears pierced. I just don't want her to right now. Because you know what it's a sign of, don't you? It's a sign of growing up. And I don't like that. And she said, no, she's wanting to get something done to her hair. And I said, don't tell me she's going to cut that pretty hair off. No, she wants to get some highlights put in it. And no offense to anybody, but I said, oh, gosh, it, what color is it going to be? You know, is it going to be green, red, purple, what? You know? No, she just wants to get some highlights put in. And Kim showed me a picture. And I didn't like it. I mean, it's beautiful, but I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. And when Jadwin came in the house, I had this kind of, like I smelt something bad look on my face. And she was just like, what is it? You know, like it bothered her. And I said, nothing. And I came to the church. I think it was on Wednesday night. In fact, I know it was. I came on to the church. And I came to the church. And I don't know if God spoke to me directly, but in my heart, it was like I felt the Lord say, you know what? You need to call her and tell her you really like her hair. I'm like, but Lord, I really don't like her hair. I mean, I do. It's pretty, but I don't like the fact that she did it, because, again, it's a sign of her growing up. I said, okay, and I did. I called her and said, well, you lied to her. No, I didn't lie. I was just changing seed. Really? And I know you'll get it. I know you'll get my point here in a minute. And believe me, there is a point to what I'm going to say. See, I changed my words. I changed the seed I planted in her heart. Because I didn't want her to think, well, Daddy doesn't like this about me. And it'd be something where her esteem was diminished. Now, look, if she violates Scripture and she blatantly disobeys me and her mama, she's going to get her tail tore up. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. She's going to get a whipping. All right? But she didn't violate Scripture. She didn't do anything ungodly. I was just like, because I remember the little girl that fell asleep on my shoulder when we got her in China. That's what I remember. You know, and this girl that's 13 years old and she's got pretty hair and she's a nice looking girl and she's got boys wanting to be her boyfriend, and I'm like, God, I'm going to kill somebody. I'm going to move to Alaska and lock her up in a cage. I don't like that. But it's got to happen. It's got to happen. It's got to happen. But I wanted to change my words because I wanted her to know, baby, it doesn't matter. I love you whether I agree with everything about you or that you do or not. I love you. See, I was sowing seeds. Words are seeds. So he said, let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Sowing and reaping is a principle that we need to remember. Galatians 6 and verse 7 says, don't be misled. You cannot mock God. You will always reap. You will always harvest what you plant. Now, there have been times I've said, God, I need a crop failure bad. You get it? God, I need a crop failure because I've been sowing the wrong seeds. And I don't want it to come up. And sometimes I've had a crop failure. Nothing came of it. Thank the Lord. But then a lot of times, well, no, most of the time, everything I said, it produced something. Sometimes I didn't like it. So you say, well, Pastor, I had a guy ask me this one time. He'd given his heart to the Lord. He'd gotten saved. And somehow or another, he had this impression. Well, I get saved. I ask God to forgive me all my sins. Then everything's going to be wonderful. But all these things kept coming up from his past, coming up. Get it? Coming up. I said, look, you planted a lot of bad seed, and they're still producing. Well, what do I do about it? I said, you better get to planting good seeds. Plant good seeds, and the good seeds will begin to produce a harvest that will outweigh the bad. Okay? It will outweigh the bad. And that takes time. It takes effort. It takes patience, right? It's because I've never had to use a lot of faith to plant weeds. I'm just wake up in the morning and be just naturally be a jerk and, you know, reap the harvest from that. And it doesn't take any effort. But boy, the harvest sure tastes bad. But it takes effort to be, sometimes it does. Maybe for some of you it doesn't, but, you know, for some of us, it takes effort to be nice, depending on who you're having to be nice to. You got to be nice, and you're loving, and you're kind, and you're gentle, and you're Christ-like, and you walk in love, and you believe in the best of other people, and you build them up, and you encourage them. And that's not always easy because it doesn't come natural necessarily, and then because it takes so much time to see a difference. But listen to what he says. He said, those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. See, it doesn't take patience, it doesn't take faith, it doesn't take any energy, it doesn't take any courage to reap a bad harvest. Just be your old sinful self and you'll get a harvest. But now that we're Christians and we're trying to live for the Lord, we have to be intentional in the way we plant seeds, the way we say things, the way we do things. And guess what? The harvest doesn't always come as quick as we want it to. You know, I've been trying to be nice to this person, been sowing good seeds toward this person, been praying for them, been blessing them, been, you know, but they still have a bad attitude toward me. And so and I'm fed up with it. I'm tired of it. But the Bible says you'll reap a harvest if you don't get tired and give up. So you just got to keep on keeping on. Because guess what? Don't you think there was a time when Jesus said, you know what? I've been sowing good seeds. I've been doing everything I know how to do to get a good harvest out of you. And I just take Brian sitting here. I've been trying my best to get a good harvest out of Brian, and it's just not working anymore, so I'm giving up on Brian. Well, what if Jesus would have given up on Brian? Well, Brian would have kept on living his life, died and gone to hell. But Jesus said, no, I know I'll reap a blessing, a harvest of blessing, if I won't give up. And Jesus didn't give up. He didn't give up on me. He didn't give up on you. Aren't you glad that he didn't give up? And we're not to give up. We're not to give up on our marriages, and we're not to give up on ourselves, and we're not to give up on our children. We're not to give up on one another. We have to just keep on sowing good seeds of blessing, and we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. And then I want to close with this. We need to make Jesus the Lord of our harvest. Isaiah 55 verse 10, this is what God said about his words. The rain and snow come down from the heavens and stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmer and bread for the hungry. It is the same with my word. Listen, I love this. I send it out and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So here we see that God is able, if we will, let's put him in control of our harvest. God, I'm going to guard my heart, but I need you to help me guard it. God, I'm going to watch my words, but God, I want you to help me watch my words. Hey, let me ask you if this has ever happened to you. Have you ever just about said something? And you'd say, I want to tell you. And you'd feel the brakes put on. You know what that was? Number one, that was your good common sense. But number two, that was the Holy Spirit saying, you better keep that seed in the bag. Because you're going to plant it and the harvest is going to come up quick. Amen. Especially if it's a seed of anger or something like that. Right? Because anger begets anger. And it doesn't have a gestation period, buddy. You say something angry at someone, anger's going to come right back. So you just have to watch it. So, Lord, I put you in control of my harvest. I put you in control of my words. I'm going to tell you something else. And I don't know why I feel led to say this. I'm not trying to be super spiritual here. But, some of you have been trying your best to speak good, godly words, God's word, God's promises over your children. And you're like, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. They're crazier now than they've ever been. They're getting in more trouble now than they've ever gotten into. I don't know what I'm going to do. You're not going to give up. You're not going to give up. You're not going to resort to that old negative stuff. Well, I just guess they'll just be that way all their life. They're just rotten. They won't ever amount to anything. Look, you're already reaping the harvest of those seeds. You're just going to have to stay with it and believe that the word of God you have declared is his word now. It's his word. It's not your word. You just can't dream up some fantasy that you want for yourself and your family and your children and believe for God to make it come to pass. He is not under any obligation to make your words come to pass. You hear me? But when you speak his words, then it's not like he's obligated. It's just natural. He's going to watch over it to make sure it happens. Amen. And there's some of you worried about your children. And look, I can't promise that everything's going to be okay. But I can tell you this, don't give up, because you will reap a harvest if you don't give up on your children, on your health, on your own life. Pastor, I just don't know if I'm ever going to get over the hump, if I'm ever going to really be the kind of Christian and be happy in Christ like I think I could be. Yes, you can and will be if you'll just stay with it. You can't give up, because if you give up, you won't reap a blessing. He said this, it will always accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. So we want to make Jesus the Lord over our harvest. Amen? Amen. Believe it or not, I'm human. And I shared that little story with you about wanting to change my heart and the words I spoke toward my wife and my children. Because, for the most part, I'd hold my tongue around other folks and then take it out on them, and I changed it. I recognized I needed to change. My question for you is, how many of you recognize you need to change? How many of you recognize you need to change what's in your heart in abundance and then what's been coming out of your mouth? I will tell you, most problems in a relationship come from right here. Words that we say to one another. Because we think we can get away with it. You might get away with it for a while. But eventually that harvest is going to come up and it's not going to be pretty. So we need to guard our heart. We need to watch what we say. Because we want it to be pleasing to God. This world is negative enough. You know where I feel the strongest and the best is when I'm with you. Really. It sure isn't when I'm watching Fox News. I've been listening to, Laura Ingram on the radio some in the mornings, and she talks about the healthy radio addiction or something. I don't know if that's all that healthy or not. Because all she talks about, and she's just reporting the facts as she sees them anyway, all she's ever talking about is how rotten this country is. Lord, I already know how rotten it is. I don't want to be reminded of it all the time. So I get in God's Word, and then I get around you, and you build me up. Not because you say anything directly to me, but just you build me up. So what we need it. And you know what Jesus said, or the Bible says in the book of Hebrews, that we're going to need this even more the closer we get to the coming of Christ. Is we're going to need one another to build each other up and encourage one another. I'm glad that I'm a part of your family. Amen. I'm glad. I'm proud of it. I'm tickled. Now, I want you to say this with me. In Psalm 19, verse 14, we used to say this as a kind of a benediction when I was at Lee College, which is now Lee University. We used to say, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In other words, what we're saying is, God, take control of my harvest. Take control of my heart where the seed is. Take control of my mouth where it comes from. Be the Lord of my harvest. Say this with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let's say it one more time. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. One more time. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Father, I love you this morning. And God, I just pray, God, today that you'd help us to understand how important it is to guard our hearts and to guard what we say, because it has an effect. It communicates a message. It communicates feelings. It communicates intention. It communicates desire. And Father, I pray, God, that you would help us today. And God, again, I feel the same way as I felt this morning. God, there's someone here today, just like in the 8:30 service. I feel in this service, God, that there's somebody, maybe more than one person, God, that they're just beat down. They're just beaten down. And they're just, it takes everything they have to keep getting up and get going. God, a lot of it's because of words that people have said. Some of it is because of words they've said about themselves. And God, I pray right now that you would help them to understand what you say about them. And that is, you've taken their sins, you've thrown them in the ocean of forgetfulness. You've taken their sins and removed them as far as the east is from the west. They'll never meet one another. They're going in opposite directions forever. Father, help them to understand what you say about them. That if they're in Christ, they're a new creation. God, help them to understand your words, which say that if they're in Christ, they've been declared and made righteous in your sight. God, help them, God, to understand what your word says, that they are the one that you love. That they are loved today. They are in the palm of your hand. Nobody can take them out. I pray that you'd help them to remember that today. in Jesus' name. Would you stand with me, please?